You're listening to the Floodgates Podcast. My name is Joey Brake, and I'm here today so excited for this conversation we're about to have. I'm joined here with my dad, our pastor, Pastor Kenton, and my wife, the one and only Natasha Brake. And today is going to be such a special conversation. How are you guys doing today?
Good. I'm excited to be here. I think I was on the podcast maybe over a year ago.
Season one.
Yeah. So excited to be back. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. We're so excited to have this conversation and hope it brings life and change into your journey with God.
Yeah. It's been a crazy couple of weeks here. We went through Vision Sunday, Anniversary Sunday. We survived a hurricane. The weather has been crazy here.
Two hurricanes back to back.
We're praying for all of those who've been affected, especially on the coast. I know we know so many people that lost so much. Our city has been through a lot. Florida as a state has been through a lot with the hurricanes. Even North Carolina got hit. So we're praying for everyone who was affected by the hurricanes. I know that was a crazy, kind of delayed our shooting schedule and what we had planned, but I'm glad everyone is safe.
Yes.
I know even Sunday, we weren't able to meet in our venue because we didn't have power. So we did a home gathering, which was really special.
So special.
At your house. We just packed out a room, 50, 60 people
right here
in this room. It was just crowded, but it was so beautiful just to be able to hear everyone singing, to worship together.
For sure.
And your message was great too. And I think it was a special Sunday to be able to gather despite the circumstances when things go out of our control. But we also celebrated 18 years as a church.
Yes, we did.
Since last episode, we celebrated 18 years, and that was such a beautiful Sunday, anniversary Sunday. So many friends and family came in to celebrate with us.
Yeah.
Always a great time. Then we had Vision Sunday. This year, Vision Sunday was incredible. I think the vision for this year is so on time.
Yeah, I'm so
it's
excited
right,
about it.
right where we needed, and exactly where we need to go. And I just remember the moment where we all came together to craft the vision for this next year, and just how it came together. I'm excited to share together with everyone how that came to be. But first, let's kind of talk the importance of a vision. Why is vision so important? I think a lot of times it's easy to live kind of surviving, just going through the motions. And what I love about vision for me is it really calls me beyond where I am right now.
Yeah.
And when we talk about vision as a community, as a church, I think it's important to have vision for your own life and vision for as a community. And so I think it's really important we take this time as a church to focus on this phrase, this identity, who we're going to become over this next year. And so maybe if you guys want to speak to the thought a little bit, why is vision important to you?
Yeah, for us, it's over the years, it's been God speaking a specific word into the house that he would want us to grab a hold of and live by and kind of apply in our daily walk with him. And it's really important that vision is clear. It'd be something that's so simple yet profound that people can actually run with it.
Yeah.
And I think this year is so special because we changed the focus of just learning about the vision or hearing about it, but actually owning the vision and running with it.
Yeah.
And vision just brings clarity. It says in the Bible that people perish because they lack vision. Mm-hmm. And so we believe that this vision will be a word from heaven, a word from God's voice that will bring clarity into why we do what we do here in our community and really globally.
Yeah. I think what comes to mind is a lot of people sometimes at the beginning of the year, they like to choose like one word for the year that they're going to focus on. And it's like, why as people, why do we want to do that? But it's because it allows us to focus on something. There's so many things in life that, you know, we may want to pursue, we may want to achieve, we may want to go after. But I believe that as a church, God wants to give us a fresh word, a new word. And we believe that every year as we get older and we step into new seasons as a church, that God really gives us a word to focus on, a phrase on what to pursue in this season. Because there's always something that we can go after. And so we've got to focus in and have clarity on what we want to do. And of course, we can have vision and clarity as individuals among our community. But as a church, there's something special that we can run with together. And so that's why vision is so important, because we as a people can pursue the same thing. We can run after the same thing, and it creates unity and it creates momentum. And so whenever we have Vision Sunday and God gives us a new word and a new vision for the year, it's so exciting because we as a people can catch that vision and run together. And I think it's so vital for the health of any church.
Yeah, that's really, really good. And I think for us, when we came together back in August, we always take a week as a staff to advance and where we want to go. And I remember in that moment that you came to us as a staff and said, I don't know what the phrase is, but this is the word. This is the passage. And you opened up to Matthew, went to the Lord's Prayer. You opened up to Acts 2 when the church first began. And I remember that moment where we all kind of sat together and you read through that and we all just began to share. And somehow it all connected into what God was speaking to me, what God was speaking to you, to all of us as a staff and as a team that kind of lead this movement that we call church. Yeah. And I love how organically it came together. Yeah. And it wasn't like we were fighting for the phrase. It wasn't like we were like trying to pick like the right phrase, the right word, or this match. Like it literally just clicked and we're just like, what if it was heaven on earth?
Like, came together.
What if that's what God is calling to us, like to step into? Yeah. Heaven on earth. And I even shared on anniversary Sunday just how like it's special to remember, but it's also it's significant because it marks the beginning of a new season, a new chapter, a new year. Yeah. Everything God wants to do, and that there's so many new things God wants to do.
Yeah.
And so I love heaven on earth personally, because to me it's kind of two things. It's like it's a challenge to me to be a courier of heaven to earth. Wow. But it's also a prayer. And for me, I've been looking at it like two sides of almost like a coin. Like sometimes I'm like, today I'm going to bring heaven to earth. Or sometimes just pray like, God, would you bring it? Would you bring heaven and your will be done on heaven on earth? And I think when we live with that posture, it really changes our day-to-day life. And what I love about this vision specifically is the emphasis on unity. I mean, we could talk a little bit about the importance of unity, why we're focusing so much on it, and what changes on the other side of it. You know, even when you shared in Acts 2, it says they devoted themselves, these people, after they heard of the message of Jesus, they devoted themselves to fellowship, to teaching, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. And it was all with that desire, that personal choice. And one of the phrases we've been saying is unity starts with you. Yeah. Unity starts with you. It's your decision to show up and to fight for that to become a reality.
Yeah, I think when we were even meeting back in August, we were evaluating and kind of thinking about a menu like you would think at a restaurant. Mm. And stay focused. And I think that's what vision does. It unifies us. And when we're all working towards the same goal, you just know why you're doing that.
Yeah.
So there'll be many other opportunities to do many other things. But when we establish like the menu of our house, then we're able to focus on the vision. You know, if you go to Chick-fil-A, you're not gonna order steak. If you go to a steakhouse, you don't order chicken. And so it's kind of like that in the church and the vision that God's given us. It might not be a place for you because you're not in that same united heart. We're talking about one mind and one heart,
yeah.
United with his word and united with his vision. And so through the Lord's Prayer, is our petitions to God by praising him, honoring him, acknowledging him as Father. Mm-hmm. And then the latter part is about us and how we can grow spiritually and walk through life with forgiveness, forgiving others and receiving forgiveness, forgiving the debts of others and us being released of our debts, and then not be tempted by the evil one. And so I think it's very important as we establish who we are as a church, as a community, we can say, hey, it's heaven on earth. Right now, that's our focus, that's our vision. I'm just inviting God to invade our circumstance. That a lot of times we think heaven is so distant, so far away, that we can't even grasp it. But the reality is we can invite heaven to be in our day-to-day here on earth. We don't have to wait to pass away to experience heaven. We can say, heaven on earth, your will be done.
Yeah. I think unity is not only just important, but it's quite literally crucial to the health of a church or anybody or any establishment, like even in any organization, in any job, in any home. Unity is vital. Unity is the foundation of anything that can grow healthily. And so I think unity is important for us in this season as a church, that we need to lock in. We need to be committed, because unity doesn't happen by default. Yeah. Unity is a choice. And so first you've got to make that personal decision of, hey, is this the vision that I'm aligned to in this season? Hey, is this what I want to run with? And if that's yes, there's some more decisions and commitments that come with it. That, hey, I'm going to be committed to community. Yeah. I'm going to show up. Hey, I'm going to love people. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to serve. And it doesn't come out of like our flesh. It comes out of our spirit, of like a discipline to do that. Yeah. And so unity is important. It's vital. It's crucial. But it's also a decision, and a daily decision, that it's not according to our flesh or what we feel. It's about what we've committed ourselves to. That wherever you go, in a family, you've got to commit to your family. In friendships, you've got to commit to friendships. And in a church, you've got to commit to the church if that's what you want to be a part of. And I think we've seen that growing so much lately in this season of people running with the vision, yep, that bringing heaven to earth, that we would see heaven on earth. And I'm just really excited that we're seeing this unity grow, and it's just going to be the start to something that is beautiful that God wants to create in us.
Yeah, and I think I love how you even said earlier, it's like, I think what was different about this year was it wasn't just presenting a phrase, but really it was inviting people to live this out in their life personally. Mm-hmm. And the only like way the vision will become a reality is if we as the people run with it and we bring it to life. And so I love this, because really there's a responsibility, I think, as individuals, that when we make personal decisions, we can really create this community, and it will affect our church and from that, they'll create change in our city. And I love how there's these circles. And I remember when we were kind of meeting about what this would look like, the statement, unity starts with you, is like, it starts with you and me and every single one of us personally making these decisions. And I remember we started with like this small circle, and I had this whiteboard, and I just wrote personal/individual. And that was like the first small little circle. And we started just looking at that little circle, but we started listing things out of if personally we would spend time in scripture and reading our Bible and spending time with Jesus in that way. If just personally we would be willing to give and we would be able to be generous. If just personally we would decide to worship. If just personally we would decide to serve. If just personally we would invite others. That would expand to another circle of influence that creates the body and affects the church. And I just remember listing those things out. And then when you see all those individuals come together, that can expand into a global influence. That when we personally have devotion and we have spiritual formation, and when we're committed to community, that expands outward what was within us and starts changing everything around us. Yeah. And I think that's so special, because it really creates an awareness of a responsibility, mm-hmm, of I can either own it or I can just be an observer. Mm-hmm. And you even shared with the church on Vision Sunday about being an observer and the difference between being an owner. Maybe we could talk a little bit about that as well, of what that looks like to live that out.
Yeah, it's really, unity is not optional. It's a choice, like you said, and it's something personal. But really, when you understand the difference between an owner and an observer, an observer just consumes. Yeah. An owner participates. An owner fixes, shows up, prepares, makes sure everything's in motion, in place, so that someone does not know Jesus can come in and experience truth and love and all those things. And so I believe the difference between, you know, the owner actually owns it. They run with it. They take ownership of it, and they take really, it's kind of like your iPhone. If you lost your iPhone, you're going to look for it, and you're going to find it until you get it, because it's yours. You own it. Your stuff's on. It's personal. Yeah. Your personal Instagram, your personal stories, your notes, everything on there is so personal. If we would treat our walk with God as much as we treat our iPhone, then that's where that devotion comes in, that personal devotion, that you say, I'm going to own this. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to worship more. I'm going to read his word more. I'm going to break bread together more. I'm just going to show up and let God be God, and constantly asking heaven to invade us here on earth, that his will be done, that his kingdom really would be established. And maybe it's in your home or in your school or in your workplace that you would allow God to come and work in and through that. And observers just consume. They come and go. They really, it costs them nothing. Wow. Ownership costs you everything. Mm.
It's really good. Yeah. It's really good. I love knowing the difference, because it challenges us to look at ourselves, yeah, and say, am I just an observer, or am I an actual owner of this place? And I think of like a home. When you own a home, you treat it differently than when you're just a guest.
Yeah.
And when I go to someone's home who actually owns it, but owns it well, and is a good steward, and also loves to not just serve, but be hospitable. Like, there's a difference. Yeah, sure. We even went to this restaurant that someone gave you a gift card for your birthday, and just restaurant we've never been to, and you were kind enough to take us with you, to dinner. And we went to this restaurant, and I remember just from the moment we sat down, there was this hospitality that was noted,
right,
that you could see. And it's not like any restaurant you just go to and they serve you, right, but really, they wanted to create an experience where you could feel taken care of, mm-hmm, that it was so hospitable. It was just this unique, yeah, difference that was so seen.
So intentional.
And right, so intentional, yeah, to the details of every single way they did everything. And I think that distinguishes, yeah, when you go somewhere. So what would it look like if we, as followers of Jesus, as the church, would have that distinct differentiation, yeah, of the world, that we would truly live heaven on earth out, that when we're in the workplace, when we're in our schools, when we're with our families, even there might be family members that you think of right now that they don't even know who Jesus is right now. You can be that example of heaven on earth, of that it can be a reality, that this earth is not everything that you know, that there could be another way of life, a higher way of life, of meaning, of purpose. Yeah. And I think that challenged me to reflect that in myself.
Mm. Yeah, I think that we're called to be ambassadors of hope, that we're not just supposed to carry hope and light and love of Jesus at floodgates in our church building, but it really matters when you step out, when you go to your workplace, when you go to your gym, when you go to wherever you're going, to the store, that's when you're really that ambassador of hope. Because when you're an ambassador, you're in another area that is foreign to you, and that's where you're carrying it. And so if we want to bring heaven on earth, I don't want heaven on earth just in my church, just in my community. I need heaven to come to earth for my coworkers. I need heaven to come to earth for my family, for those who don't know Jesus. And so if we want to see that come to light, we've got to ask God to give us that strength, to give us that wisdom, to give us that love, to love the unlovable, to love those who don't know the love of God. And so I think bringing heaven to earth is being an ambassador of hope at all times, bringing God's word to people when we're at work or when we're at school. And, you know, maybe we hear a need. Maybe you ask someone, how are you? And they're like, hey, I'm actually not that good. What if we took that as the assignment for the day? Hey, let me pray for this. Hey, let me be generous to that person. If I see a need and I can fulfill it, let me go that extra mile. Even though I don't have to, I get to, because every day I'm on assignment. I'm not just on assignment when, you know, I'm serving at church or whatever. Like, I'm staying on assignment, and I can ask God in the morning, Lord, would you invade my everyday today? Would you let me be on assignment? Give me eyes to see what you want me to do. Give me ears to hear needs around me. Give me a heart of compassion and a heart that breaks for the lost. And so bringing heaven to earth isn't just for us. It's actually for everyone else around us.
That's so good. And this is our commitment, and this is our prayer, heaven on earth, yeah, that we would actually just believe it. Because one thing is to hear it or even pick it up and own it, but you really have to believe it. That you really have to believe that as you pray and as you go and as you live life, that heaven's going to invade. Heaven's going to come and bring wisdom. Heaven's going to come and bring revelation. Heaven's going to come and bring unity to accomplish what Jesus did on the cross, yeah, is to bring salvation, to bring healing and hope to the nations. And that's one thing I love about our community is we're not just one nation. We have people from all over the world, yeah, literally, and it's amazing to see how we can come together with different culture and different understanding and different language barriers even, that we can come united as one.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about Ephesians. It talks about Ephesians 4, that we're to be one body,
mm-hmm,
one spirit, one hope, one faith, one Lord, one salvation, one, yeah, baptism. And it all goes back to that oneness.
Yeah. Because it's not, we have to look the same, we have to think the same, we have to act the same way. It's not one mind, one spirit, one heart, one body, that it's like we're all uniform, yeah, that we all conform,
like
to
robots,
one thought process. Yeah,
yeah.
But it's actually that there's so much diversity in unity,
yeah,
culturally, age-wise, season-wise.
Yeah,
like
so
one
good
thing we love doing at Floodgates is our coffee clubs, which is just a Bible study that's open for all ages, all seasons of life, and we,
yeah,
meet at a coffee shop, and we read the Word together, and we pray, and we have one girl that comes, and she goes, I love this because I get to hear all seasons of life, all different
so
perspectives,
good,
different ages. It's not just a youth event, not just a kids event, a couples event, an adult,
yeah,
event.
Mm-hmm.
You get to hear such diversity and revelation of the Word of God together. And so we don't want to get it twisted that unity is like conformity in the sense of no diversity in thought or in idea or in creativity,
yeah,
but it's actually so much diversity in,
yeah,
unity that flourishes. And but if we have unity of heart on the purpose,
yeah,
and in the intention, then that creates the space for diversity and creativity and just so many unique ideas and just ways of life to produce from it. And so unity isn't conforming. Unity actually brings diversity.
That's beautiful. Yeah, unity doesn't look like uniformity. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't have to look like a uniform, one size fits all. But there is this common thread between each,
right,
and every, everything. And I think of like a symphony, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just because you can have a cello, you can have a violin, you can have all these different instruments, wind, percussion, like whatever you want to like say,
right,
they all sound different, they all tune differently, they have different strings, they're all built and crafted differently,
right,
but when they all hit the same note, there's this beautiful sonic unity,
mm,
that when they're in the same frequency, in the same movement, the same key, the same,
mm,
tone, that's where the beauty is expressed.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same way within the church.
It's really good.
That we all have different backgrounds, different stories, different timelines and journeys. And,
yeah,
we might find ourselves in different seasons.
Yeah.
But regardless of it, when we all come together for the same purpose,
right,
we truly create this beautiful thing in the world that stands out. That's like a melody to your ear.
Yeah.
That it truly stands out, like almost like art, like paint on a canvas. So you have all these colors, but when you mix them together, you create this beautiful picture of heaven on earth.
Well, now you're going to get me started on the orchestra thing, because I played violin, and in orchestra, now I'm like thinking it through, and there is so much analogy to that, because also when I would play violin and I was a part of an orchestra and we had violins, violas, cello, bass, you know, we did come together for a song, but there's also moments of the song where I sit out for seven measures and the violas take it and it's beautiful, or the violas will sit out eight measures and the cello and the bass create something beautiful. So sometimes when you're coming together for one song that is unified, not everyone's playing the same part. And different parts happen. And so there's a moment where violin ones, we're taking the reins and we're leading the song, and it's creating something so unique that a cello can't do. But then I take my rest, I take my break, and I let the cello sing, and I let the bass lead. But actually, in reality, who's leading that? The conductor. The conductor is the one who points and who leads and reminds us, hey, in two measures, this is where you take your rest, and this is where the violins go. And when that happens, there's dynamic that happens. Sometimes the violins play really low and really soft, and it lets the violas come in and play. Or sometimes we're digging into those strings, and we're working hard, and we're making that sound come out and ring. And it's all for the unity of the song. But in reality, the conductor is the one who's leading us and guiding us. But us as instrumentalists, we also have to play our part and read our sheet music, read where we're going, know the plan, know where we're going. And so, wow, I'm glad you brought that up, because that actually brings a lot of revelation to me, that we all are playing the same song, but we've got different parts to play in it.
Yeah, so good. That's beautiful. It's funny, because you've been playing again this year, and I discovered that about her. I never was able to witness her play until one day she bought one and she came home and she just started playing like she played like last week. And it's just like,
it's been 7 years.
Yeah, 7 years. And it's this beautiful thing. And I think that like had me thinking, it's like there's so many things people are able to do, but until you give them that part to play,
come on,
you won't see what they're capable of. And it does require us to be of one vision, one heart, one mind, to be able to play our part.
Yeah.
And know, it's like, I might not even be able to do this yet, but am I willing? Am I available? Will I learn? Will I step up? I think about people in our church right now that in this season, we've been navigating a lot of change, and there's people that have stepped up, that they were capable of doing things that I probably never even noticed before, but because there was a lack or deficiency in a certain area, it called something out of them that they had a desire to meet that need. And I love that in the church, that we could see that visually, that when we are united with one heart, one mind, we're willing, we're available to do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
What is maybe one of the areas, I know we talked about personal devotion and spiritual formation, committed to community, global influence. Personally to you guys, like, what is one area you think is really needed right now? And what is, how can people run with that? How can people grow in maybe one of those areas?
Yeah, for me, just looking at humanity, not even the church, I think people lack devotion. They're devoted, but just devoted to the wrong things. And I think we need to realign what we decide as believers and as the church, what we're going to really devote ourselves to. You're involved in a world where there's politics. You're involved in a world where you have to work, and there's different facets of life that you have to deal with. But the Bible actually says we're not of this world. We're in it, but we're aliens to it. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of people are so devoted to maybe their workout devotion or their work devotion or their routine, and they're forgetting the spiritual devotion. Mm. And that's for me, I think a lot of people, once you start, like you said, working on the inside, everything around you changes. Your perspective changes, your mindset, your friendships change. Everything you do changes. And so I think if we could get into a place where spiritually we're devoted to the reading of His Word, start there, and then start devoting your time to prayer and worship and adoration, thanksgiving, gratitude, and you'll start seeing a radical change in your daily outlook of life.
Yeah. I mean, reflecting on a little bit of my story, I grew up in the church. I grew up knowing God, loving God, giving my life to Him personally in the seventh grade. But I remember in about 2018, I just felt lost. I felt like I was distant from God. I didn't know who I was. And I remember the change that finally happened, because I was still going to church, I was going to youth, I was being faithful, being committed in my community, but I was just missing that. I knew of God, but I didn't know Him and His heart intimately. But what changed for me was that I took it into my own hands. I reflected, am I reading my Bible? Am I worshiping on my own? Or am I just waiting till Sunday to get filled up? Or am I waiting for my youth pastor to give me a good word? And that's what, you know, I would survive off of for the week until I got my next, you know, my next fix. And so it was simply me waking up. I remember it was July, it was summer, and I opened my Bible. I read 1 John, one chapter, and I read it. I felt nothing, but I closed my Bible, and then I did the same thing the next day. And I read another chapter, and I read another chapter, and I'd turn on one worship song, and I'd worship to it in my room. And there was no one around me. There was no lights. There was no this or that. It was simple devotion with God in my room. And maybe I didn't feel anything in those first moments, but we also don't live for emotion. We live for commitment to God. And from that, I had an internal transformation, and I was awakened to the revelation of God again in my life. And so I think that was so transformational in my life, because I made it my commitment, my decision, my devotion to Him. And so I think if, you know, what God did in my life, if He can do that for every single one of us in our church, in our community, or whoever is listening to this podcast right now, wherever you're at, if you take your devotion into your own hands, and then as we as individuals who are committed, like individually, oh my gosh, like the unity and the momentum and just what God can do through us would be literally uncomprehendable. And so that's what I think we need right now, is people devoted personally to Jesus, and not just committed to church. Like, if you're just going to be committed to church but not to God, you're missing out. That's not the point. And so I think we need to see personal devotion happen to see something beautiful.
Yes. And then even in Matthew 6, where the Lord's Prayer is, before it gets into our Father art in heaven, Jesus is inviting us to go to a secret place and to pray, and to go spend time with your Father alone and pray. Yeah. And yes, there's great times for corporate prayer and praying with your spouse or praying with your family, but you individually going, because He already knows what you need. He even says it there, but He wants you to know what you need.
Yeah.
And when you speak it out loud, it brings it to life.
Yeah.
And so when you just start establishing this intimacy with God alone and work on the inside, it's just natural. It's going to cause a radical ripple effect that will affect your home, your community, your nation, and then the outermost parts of the world.
Yeah, I was listening to a message the other day, and the pastor was speaking about how we all have this common goal to grow, and we can all relate that there's some area of our life we want to grow in. And he presented this question that really made me think deeply about this idea of growth. And he said, like, what is the tool that will help you grow the most in following Jesus?
Wow.
And people began to say, like, reading your Bible, praying, serving, giving. And those are all great things. And they're great tools. But he said the greatest tool is personal discipline. That if you would personally devote yourself to following him, you will see growth. By reading your Bible and praying and giving and serving, all those things are responses and things you should do that are amazing and great. But if you don't have a personal discipline to actually see it through, it is very difficult to grow. Think about, like, if you're in the gym, if you only show up once a week, over time, you're not going to see much results. Right. You might see some, but you're not going to see the results maybe you want to see. Because that effort doesn't match the level of growth you want to achieve. And so I want to encourage anyone who's listening right now is maybe you have that desire within you to grow personally, knowing God deeper, to follow him, to allow, give him access to more areas of your life, to trust him, to know him. Maybe your choice today is to start a discipline. Personally, to make a choice for yourself, and you'll see that it'll begin to change you, and then maybe people around you might start to notice there's been a shift. It'll probably affect your family dynamics, your way of life, the way you speak, the way you live, and through that choice, inwardly, you will see an outward effect that will change everyone around you.
Yeah, and I remember on Vision Sunday, we challenged everybody to blink as it is in heaven. And so every one of us have a blink. Maybe you're listening today, you don't even know Jesus yet. Maybe that can be in blink, believe as it is in heaven, or blink in my family as it is in heaven, in my community, my job, my finance. Whatever your blank is, I would challenge you to personally declare it, speak it out loud, maybe write it out, that you're in blank, my father will come to know Jesus. In blank, my lost son who's out in the world will come home in as it is in heaven. And so whatever your blank is, that you would just pursue that. And whether it maybe that, I'm in blank, I'm going to be more devoted. In blank, I'm going to read more, I'm going to pray more, I'm going to worship. Whatever your blank is, I would encourage you to speak that out loud and just make that declaration with us today, and let's change the world.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I think for me, my blank is personally in my life, it's like in my discipline, as in it is in heaven. And then in our church, it'd be like in oneness as it is in heaven. And in our world, I think it would be more of a, like, in love, like that the world would see the love of Jesus as it is in heaven, that they would truly experience it. And I think it's important to focus on all three areas, because if you only focus on yourself, it becomes a self-centered Christianity that it was never intended to be. But there is an aspect of it that does involve you. And so it's that finding that rhythm of knowing it's not all about me, but I do play an important part. And it does start and begin with me and from that place. And so I love that challenge of in blank as it is in heaven. And maybe take some time to reflect on that. In your life, what would that be? What is that blank? In our church, what would that be? Or in your church? And in our world, in our city, what is that blank? What are we praying and believing for as it is? What is that will of God that we're believing by faith for God to do impossible things, to move in incredible ways? And my prayer is at the end of this year, when we enter into year 19 as a church, that we would see a lot of those prayers answered, that we would see heaven on earth in families, in our schools, in our cities, in our relationships, in our marriages, in our finances, in our life, in our church, in our community, in our serving, in our giving, all these things, that we would truly be heaven on earth. Yes. And I remember when we came up with this phrase, I was reading this book, Unreasonable Hospitality, and he talks about hospitality makes magic in the world that needs more of it. And that just had me thinking, as a church, we have the most special thing that anyone could ever experience, and that's the presence of God.
Yeah.
And so what is that secret ingredient? It is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That he truly can change this world, and this world needs more of him. Mm-hmm. And so as a church, could we bring that and be couriers of heaven to earth so that they could taste and see and experience the reality?
Yeah.
To not wait to get there, but right here on earth, to actually see it with their own eyes, to hear it, to feel it in the depths of their soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's our prayer, and that's our commitment, heaven on earth. We challenge you to join us. We challenge you to own it and run with it.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. Thanks for being on today. It's been such a good conversation. We hope that this encourages you, that it challenges you to make the right choices, to make maybe shifts in your life, and run with it. I think that's the biggest challenge, to live it out.
Yep.
I think live it out. And when we live it out together in unity, we'll create this beautiful thing of heaven on earth. Thanks for tuning into the Floodgates podcast. Continue to live by faith, be known by love, and be a beacon of hope. Love you guys. See you next time.